again, it's good to glad that you're here and glad that we can be together today and worship our Lord as he's blessed us with and commanded us to do. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4. This church is in Macedonia, up there north of the Aegean Sea. The result of the Macedonian cry, as we see that, the Lord giving that vision, the Apostle Paul. And they go up there and minister. Folks are saved. And we know some of these that are here at this church. The jailer and Sister Lydia, their households. Others that are there. Epaphroditus, a minister of that church, being sent to Paul, bearing help, provision for him. It seems that the brother is at Rome. And so he's written to them. Fellowship in the gospel is the great theme that we see. Certainly at the beginning of this, we see examples of it. And of course, exhortation to be diligent, to be aware, to be pursuing what the Lord's given to do. And then as it is also a personal instruction, our place, we are members of this body of Christ, this church, but we do live as his children too. We've got responsibilities and all that, individually, in our families, and collectively as his church. We see as he's wrapping up in this chapter, this fourth chapter, he beseeches some to be of the same mind, and that we need to have that unity of mind. He calls them yoke fellow in verse number 3. We're yoked together with one another in this cause. When you've got a yoke of oxen, you got a couple mules, you got a team. You know, if individuals of those teams go different directions, no work's going to get done well, is it? Got to go the same way. That's the way it needs to be with us. We need to be going the same way. And that way that we go is the way that the Lord Jesus is leading. That's the way that we need to go. He mentions here about the women that are there, and we're thankful for the women of our church. And they have a part in this ministry just as much as we do, brethren. The Lord's given an order about leadership and such. As I mentioned to you last time, if we extracted all the work of the women from Olmsted Baptist Church over these 6-plus decades, what would it look like? That would not be good. It would not be good. And so the Lord uses us. He's given us an order. He's given us a place. And we are blessed, and we are rewarded, and we're helped. We're found at peace and joy with our Lord, following him and what he's given us to do. And the economy of the Lord is such is that there's no big I's and little U's. There's the work of the Lord that we can avail ourselves and be involved with, and he will reward his servants according to his pleasure. And let me tell you, when he rewards, it'll be good. It'll be good. We can trust him for it. Don't try to pin the Lord down to any kind of deals, right? Just trust him, obey him. Rejoice in the Lord always. We need to, and we need to be careful. Don't be nervous, upset, troubled about anything, verse number 6. And then let us get our thinking in line. We need our thinking in line. Everything that we do physically with our mouth and with our hands, with our feet, is going to start in the heart. It's going to start in the mind. And if you and I, this isn't talking about the power of positive thinking. This is speaking about the truth of righteous thinking and righteous purpose. The world around us is going to drag us down, and the world in its way, and sin and depravity and wickedness is on its way to hell. It's death. And if we focus upon that, we let that be our stay, we let that be our help, or we let that be our hope, we're just going to go in our hearts and minds, we're going to go that same way. But if we think upon the Lord, and we look to the Lord, and everything that we deal with and face, we will be and can be helped. And we can be used. Not set aside, but we can be used of him. Be used to him in this ministry I mentioned this morning. That's among people. The ministry of the Lord is amongst people. And we're admonished here. Think on these things. And then he says here in verse number 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And as I mentioned to you at the beginning of the services, when we got started, we're being watched. We're being listened to. We're being observed by all those around us. They hear what's important to us. They see what's important to us. Our youngsters do. And from that, they form their ideas. They form their justification. Of course, we're not the only input into their lives, but we are one. We are, I trust, a major input into their lives and their thinking. And how we estimate things is a cue for them about how they should estimate things. And we need to do well before them, representative of the Lord. And so those things which you have learned, both learned, received, and heard and seen in me do, may God help us that it would be that we could say that we are followable, following Christ ourselves. But again, the one that we need to point them to always is to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in doing well and following what's right, and the God of peace shall be with you. In John chapter 14, we take a look here what the Lord Jesus, familiar, I know to you. We read it again just so we can have it before our eyes. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Our eyes fastened upon him. And in verse number 23 of that same chapter of John, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And we have that manifested right here in the Bible. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode, our place where we dwell with him. And so it's not just knowing what the Lord says, but it's obeying him in it. And so, and may we be a good example. We pick it up here in verse number 10 of chapter 4 of Philippians. He says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Epaphroditus has been sent with this gift for the apostle and those that are with him's care. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. All of you couldn't come. You have restraints, but I'm rejoicing that in spite of the restraints, you did what you could do, and by Epaphroditus, you sent something to help us. He's going to say more about that, but you've sent something to help us. Remember that as the Apostle Paul is at Rome, and what we understand from the scriptures is while he is taken there to appear before Caesar, in Jerusalem, or in Caesarea, declared that he appealed unto Caesar, that there are those that he has even mentioned here have gone away from him. They have left him. It's not been convenient to stay with him. They've succumbed maybe to the pressure. It's looking like Paul's case is not going to be to the good. And so he's finding himself with fewer and fewer around him. As it would be natural, it would be that if churches and members of churches that are there, of course, the ones we know of most that are closer to Rome would be those in Greece, which is a long way away. But it may just be dangerous to get close to Paul. After all, he's over there where Caesar is, and if you let it be known that you're connected to him, it might be risky. The Roman Empire and its strength and its power, it doesn't matter if somebody is in Italy or Greece or in Asia Minor. If they want to find you, they can go looking for you and they can find you. But the church of Philippi, they went ahead and sent Epaphroditus, and Epaphroditus was willing to go. And he wasn't afraid. He may have been afraid, but he had the courage to go ahead and go and take that to meet the apostles' necessity. And he's rejoicing in that. He said, I know you've got restraints. You couldn't do it at times, but here it's flourished again. And again, that ministry is amongst people, isn't it? Unto people. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, we could have made it without it. I'm rejoicing on your behalf more so than even myself, because you've sought to do it in obedience to the Lord and honor to the Lord and glorification of the Lord. But he says here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, that's a tall statement, isn't it? That is a grand statement. Whatsoever state I am. How about you and me? Are we content? You know, I've made a joke with myself in times past, and you all know my weakness for tools. I like working with my hands. I like tools and working on stuff, and I really, really enjoy that. And when I get a catalog in the mail, I've begun to call them covetousness catalogs. Makes you... You see the pictures of it, maybe a video or two of how they're using it, and say, man, somehow I just got to get one of those. It's not wrong for us to want or obtain things that we need. The Lord gives us even gifts and presents, you know, or our loved ones do, or as you have for us and one another. There's nothing wrong with that. But we do need us be found in a state of contentment. We've got a nation of people that are not content, having some of the greatest blessings physically that have ever been known. We've even in the state of our medical situation these days, we were talking about some of that at lunch. Somebody brought out a point here within the last couple of years that kings going back a millennia or two would marvel at the medical provision that's available for the common person in our day. I mean, they would have given a king's ransom to have what's common for you, me and you today. He says, I've learned. And so for us to be content, we've got to learn to be content. My pastor has said, you know how to be content? Don't want what you don't have. Just don't want what you don't have. Want what you have and you'll be content. You know, and that's very simple, but it's true. Be content. Be content. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, there's a reference here that speaks about this. And we see it in verse 6 through 8. But godliness, that's being like the Lord. What Jesus does, what Jesus thinks, what Jesus says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You want to have gain? Want to have more? Be godly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Think, speak, and do like Jesus. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Coffins really haven't changed in size, have they? No, there's just something about coffins is really, there might be a trinket or two or maybe some jewelry or some memento or something like that, but there's very little put into a coffin other than the body. That's just the way it works. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now, for us in our nation, food and raiment seems to be a real challenge, because certainly you need more than that. But that's what our Lord says. And listen, I've told Clarissa several times, I said, aren't you thankful? You know, we don't live in cardboard. There's people in the world that live in cardboard. When we had that real bitter weather and the snow and stuff and the ice and everything, I said, how would you live if you were living outside? Can you imagine that? I mean, we can't even imagine. I can't. I can't imagine that. Some that have been in the military have been exposed to things like that. You had provision for it, but it was rough. But we don't even think about having to live in such extreme conditions like that. We've been greatly blessed, and we've been blessed with a lot. And we need to be content. Most of all, we need to be content with this that we see in Hebrews chapter 13. This is where our contentment needs to be. And as the apostle had need and he used this church to provide it, and so it is with us. The Lord uses means to provide for us. He uses miracle to provide for us. He's done that. He will do that. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, the scripture says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, because the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If we have the Lord, what do we lack? If we have the Lord, what do we lack? We don't lack anything. We don't lack anyone. So that we may boldly say, verse number 6, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me." And that is indeed our fear. We have great fear in life. But we need to be content. And so the Apostle Paul says that he's learned to be content. And may the Lord help us that we would undertake and seek the Lord's face and help, that we would be content. And when we get to longing for something or looking towards something, you know, let's evaluate that and make sure it's not just our just gathering up and hoarding to ourselves. But if it is a gift, enjoy it. Praise the Lord for it. If it's a blessing and we need a thing and the Lord provides for it, praise his name and use it for his honor and his glory. He says, "I know both how to be abased," verse 12, "and I know how to abound." And this has been a verse that has been brought to me to face here in more recent times, over the last few years. To see this, "I know how to be abased," that means to be in a humbled state, a powerless state, if I understand it correctly. It's not talking about being demoralized, but it's talking about being to understand that we are powerless and we are unable in and of ourselves, that we do need help. That we need help. You know, we are called and exhorted to do and to work for the Lord, but we cannot do it in our own strength. So we are called to go, but we can't go. But the Lord makes it to where we can go. I know that can be a paradox in our mind, but we don't have the ability and the strength. But we do have the calling. And since we have the calling, by virtue of that calling, we do have the power of God to do so. We just need total and full reliance on him as we go and we move forward. "I know how to be abased and I know how to abound." And so to rejoice and to be on top of it, to rejoice again in our Lord, not in our own ability. I accomplished it. No, the Lord blessed me to accomplishment. He accomplished it in me. He helped me. He made good on his promise. This was his leadership, and he did it. "I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things," listen to this, "everywhere," so no matter where he is physically, "and in all things," everything that he faces, "I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry." At the same time, we go to witness to somebody and tell them about Christ. Do you get nervous with that? Yeah, we get nervous with that. That's our fleshly side. Can we save them? No, we can't save them. But do we have the Word of God that can save them? Indeed. So we go to them, or we know we're not worthy in and of ourselves, but we've been called and made worthy by the Lord to go and do this work. He's called us. We can't save them, but he's given us this word to give to them. And I tell you what, it is the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in and of ourselves, we know we can't, but the Lord can. And in all of that, we have hope that the Lord can take that and use that and will. And all there at the same time, we're abased in that we cannot. But we abound knowing that the Lord can. This provision has come, and the brother's abounding. He's abounding in that. He's rejoicing in that. He sees their conviction, their service, and their work. But then in that, so where's the next one going to come from? Where's the next provision going to come from? If Paul's laid up in bed sick, and he can't make tents, and he can't work, where's the next provision going to come from? At the same time, abounding in the blessing of the Lord, but then abased because of our weakness and our inability. I know how to be abound in everywhere and all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. We're not able, but the Lord is able. Yet he uses the unable to be the means in this ministry unto people that he might be glorified. See, that's the beginning and the end of it all, is that the Lord be glorified, not us. Not us. We're found as an instrument and a means and a tool to be used of the Lord for his glory and his honor. And it's just a marvelous, wondrous thing to be used that way. You know, naturally we are hell bound and unprofitable, separated from God and anything good. But being saved by the Lord, this old corrupt flesh can be taken and mortified by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and used to glorify, worship, and serve our Lord and Savior. Paul says, "O wretched man that I am." But there is a deliverance by our Lord. We're abased and we abound. And so I think what this does is that I think one thing that this can do for us, and I think that's possibly indeed maybe the design is that it's good for us to be abased, because we need to know where we've been brought from and where we're being brought to. And we need to not, in the abounding, rise up thinking that we are the accomplishers. But then in being abased, we certainly don't need to be brought to a place of despair either, do we? And so we have the abounding to lift us up, and then the abounding, we have the abasing to even us out. And may the Lord help us that we are able to stay on top of the road, not in the ditches, and glorifying our Lord on the way. I think in this verse we see in this abasing and abounding, I think that this is a verse that would lead us to understand about living spiritually. I mentioned to you this morning that according to Galatians chapter 6, if there's going to be any restoration, it's going to take some spiritual people. If there's going to be any restoration to any of the ills and the problems that we have in our churches and in our day and amongst the unsaved, our Lord Jesus was the only spiritual man. And he saw our need and he has restored us. And if there is a need, if there's one overtaken in a fault, the only way that they're going to be able to be restored is for there to be some spiritual. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. That's what Jesus did for us. And that's the directive that we have from the Lord as his people and his churches. And the conflicts and the infighting and the disunion and the backbiting amongst brethren and pastors. And if there's going to be any restoration, it's going to take some spiritual people. Because carnal has given us what we've got. Carnality gives us the problems that we've got. But being spiritual, being like the Spirit of God, operating like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he became a man, the whole world is overtaken in a fault. And Jesus is the spiritual man that restores sinners unto the Lord. And so to live spiritually, quickly, it's messages for another time, and I've preached about these things in times past, but just quickly, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. And right here in these passages, in these chapters, we find about living spiritually. And I just want us to peruse over these quickly and see how the layout here is. Spiritual gifts, they're given by the Lord. And when they are, make sure that you use them. Make sure that you use them. Don't let them sit idle. Don't let them just be kept to yourself, but use them. Use them in the body, use them in the church, and use them in the work of the church. And then he says in verse number 31, and in that day there were gifts that were external, you know, like tongues and healings and miracles and things like that. But he says here at the end of this, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, verse 31 of chapter 12, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What's that excellent way? It's the way of love with legs on it, charity. The way of love. The way of love, as we get it and we understand it from the Word of God. The way of love and that we need to grow up into. You don't automatically love like Christ when you're first saved to its fullest extent, but we grow into it. We grow up into it. He says there, in childhood, we did childish things, but we need to grow up and grow up in our love. And what abides? What are the three things that remain and abide for the child of God? Faith in our Lord, hope in our Lord, and this charity, love unto action, love with legs on it. Those are the things that remain for us. Those are the things to pursue. Prophecies are going to fail. The Word of God is here to us at hand. It means there's going to be no more prophecy. The miracles and such as those gifts and speaking in tongues and such as that, that's past. It was for that time. But the Word of God and the good Word of God and the example of Christ and that great love He has shown unto us, we need to show to one another. And in this chapter, in this book, chapter here, chapter 13, we see all the things that charity, love with legs on, does to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our families, and to sinners in the world. And then in chapter 14, he says, follow after charity, but don't forget about those gifts. But let's get the more excellent way is to put charity first in everything that you do. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves, not be a stumbling block, but being an edifier. And then the hang up that this church had was about tongues and different utterances and prophecies and things like that. But he said, when you want to speak with your mouth, make sure that you speak with understanding. Verse number 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. He goes on down here in verse 19, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach, that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words with an unknown tongue. And goes on down here, and he gives us some things about order and dealing with them about their particular issue, about one having this prophecy, one having another, and the one wanting to exhibit their tongues and all that kind of thing and the purpose of that. And he comes on down here, and he says, the Lord's not the author of confusion, but peace, verse number 33. Verse number 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So this is the way that it is to be. And he says here, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, but for not Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. That was for them in particular. Let all things be done decently and in order. He said, the unknown tongue or the language thing, that's not what lies ahead. What lies ahead is the expounding of the Word of God clearly in this ministry to people. To take what God has given and to give it to them. So then the Spirit of God has got something to use and to work on them, to help them however they need help. Remember, as we preached this morning and what it tells us in this same book, we are ambassadors. We are people representing a person unto people. And we're to take that word in love and give it to them, whether it be the sinner without Christ or it be the disobedient child of God, or the exhortation of the saints to keep on keeping on. And then what do we see in the next chapter? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting how it is, how it's laid out here before us in chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15 about how to live spiritually? It's not about abounding in ourselves and glorifying ourselves by showing off our gifts. But it's to know where the gifts come from, know what the gifts are for, and to use them to be an edifier, to always do it in love for the sake of the Lord, paying attention most closely and earnestly to what God has given to us in His Word, using it for the edification of others and the glory of the Lord, not the glorification of ourselves, always putting forth Christ. Because without the Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, sinners will not be saved. The children of God will not be motivated to keep on keeping on in this calling, in this ministry that we have. Because one day our Lord is coming back for us. This chapter 15 also speaks to us much about the resurrection. Because we're not going to be here forever to serve and worship the Lord. We've got a little time to do it. And our hope is indeed, no so hope, we will be with our Lord. He will change us and we'll be with Him for eternity. So, back in Philippians 4:12, I both know how to be abased. It all comes from the Lord. I know how to abound. He works in us and He's faithful. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Oh, He's made me able, but then I lack so. It should make us turn to the Lord, not despair. To be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Verse 13, you know this verse, don't you? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't do all things through Christ by myself. But I can do everything. You can do everything that Christ Jesus wants you to do through His strength and His power. Got to yield to it. Got to want it. Desire it. Seek the Lord's face in prayer in it. Ask Him for it. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with me in my affliction. He said, you've blessed me. And you've honored the Lord in sending Epaphroditus with this. Thank you. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you. You were the only church. Isn't that something, how that was a gift of God unto them, that they thought about Paul? Where is he? Wonder if he's needing something. One of the folks there, Lydia, and some of those that worked for her, she was a seller of purple. She had a business going on. You know what? I'm heading down that way. I'll look them up and I'll see if there's anything they need. I don't know how it went. I'm just, people are people, and they were motivated in that. You know, we owe Paul our lives. We owe the Lord our lives. Why did the Lord send him here to us? But praise His name, He did. I mean, they were touched by that, and they kept track of him, and they sent to help him before. For even in Thessalonica, on down the line from Philippi there into Greece and to Achaia, you sent once and again to my necessity. He tells them, he rehearses that with them. And you know what their reaction is? Oh, yeah, okay, boy, yeah, that's what we wanted to do. That's what we needed to do. You don't have to praise us for that. But they were used of the Lord in this ministry, from the person of God to the conviction in their hearts to the person of the Apostle Paul, for the sake of those that Paul and those with him would reach and the Lord would save and work in them. I tell you what, the economy and the working of the Lord, you know, they, according to the economy of the Lord, have the blessing of the Apostle Paul unto their credit. His reward of the Lord is to their credit too, because they helped him in the way. Isn't that what Jesus says? I tell you, you help a prophet, Jesus says, in his days, you help a prophet with just a little help, you'll receive a prophet's reward. That's what Jesus said. He says here, you sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift. It's not that I'm wanting the stuff. The stuff is a help. It's a blessing. He doesn't discount it. But I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. I tell you what, there's some abasing and abounding in it. To see where the great blessing is. Yeah, sure, he was able to eat it. He was able to put it on. He was able to pay the bills with it, however it was. But he saw that the great thing was is that they had treasure laid up in heaven for what they had done for him. He had to be the instrument to suffer the need so they could be the ones to see the need and give to the need. He had to be found in want for their treasure in heaven to grow. And he rejoiced in that. Brother Jim, this world doesn't think that way. That's exactly right. The Lord's the one that thinks and does this way. Not because I desire a gift, but desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, even though it nearly cost Epaphroditus' life. He was very sick, even unto death. They thought he might die. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Like a sacrifice, like those sacrifices that were offered on the altar of the temple and the tabernacle. He makes that connection. This is the same kind of thing. A Gentile can offer an offering to the Lord in this way, in the ministry of the Lord unto his people. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's the promise of our Lord. He knows the things that we have need of. And it's not wrong for us. I've heard people say, so it seems like all the time, all I'm doing is asking of the Lord. And it's kind of like, you know, I need a cool off period of asking stuff of the Lord. You know, if it's legitimate and you need it from the Lord, keep on asking. Just make sure as you and I are asking, we're thanking too, because there's much to be thankful for to boot. That idea, you know, it's just kind of like self-wisdom, will worship, a spiritual pride. So, that's all I'm doing. That's all I ever do is ask the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, ask him for what you need. That's his design. He wants that. He's glorified in that because he's the one to ask. All men are to pray unto the Lord. But make sure you thank him along the way too. We need to thank him because there's always something to thank the Lord for, always. And he knows our needs and he wants us to go to him. He'll supply all of our need. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's the thing to keep in mind, glorification of the Lord. And here again, salute every saint in Christ Jesus, Paul writes. The brethren which are with me greet you. He doesn't name names like we read here this morning in Romans chapter 16. But there are souls that are there that have been saved, have been affected, have been the witness to them, received a witness from them. The Lord has worked in their lives and saved them. And we are saints, joint heirs with Christ, fellow citizens of heaven, brethren. And he says, hello. We say hello. We say hello to you. We remember you and your work and your call of the Lord. We remember how the paths of our lives have crossed, and you ministering to us, us ministering to you, whatever the case may be. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The Lord told Paul that he's going to go to Rome. He's going to testify before kings. And he did that in Caesarea, and he ultimately did that in Rome. He did that with the centurion and all that band. Brother Mark just went through the book of Acts, and we heard about that. All those people on the way, all those people on the way from Jerusalem all the way to Rome heard about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and saw the witness of Paul and those that were with him. And from the human standpoint, would have never heard or seen such had not the brother yielded, been taken captive and treated so, and then made his appeal. He had to be abased so they could abound. And that's what the ministry is. The ministry of the Lord is unto people. And it will cost us. But it'll be good. It'll glorify the Lord, not us. We'll be glorified on the other side with Christ when he glorifies us. Don't try to glorify ourselves here and now. Let the Lord, leave it to the Lord to glorify us with his glory when he wants to. That'll be when it'll be good and best. Until now, may the Lord help us that we learn these things and we apply these things. We have this right outlook. We not try to be chintzy with our lives, but use our lives for the sake of the Lord. Have a real vision about a true understanding and the true vision. Even folks of Caesar's household were saved. Of the emperor of Rome were saved because the Lord took the Apostle Paul there and the brethren with him. The grace, the good gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, that's what we see in this book is a litany of gifts from the Lord. That's grace is a summary term. I hope you're not troubled by me saying that, because it's just the truth. Grace is a summary term. It's kind of like doctors. They say some two or three words and it means like a paragraph. That's what the word grace is. Grace is a summary term that speaks about so many things. This teaching to abound and be abased, that's a grace of God. If you and I don't know that, we're without a clue. If we, the graciousness of the Lord is the Lord being willing to send his Son. A graciousness of the Lord, a gift of the Lord, is that the Son's willing to come, to send somebody to us. That's a gift of the Lord. His Word, the effectual working of his Spirit, the salvation of the soul, the teaching us. We've seen here this morning, we took a look at about how the Lord has gifted the church. Those are gifts of the Lord. That's the graciousness of the Lord bestowed upon his people. When you see that word grace, it's talking about the giving of the Lord. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. He keeps on giving. And he instructs us. The grace, the gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And I tell you what, we need them, don't we? We need the Lord's gifts. And remember what the Lord says, the scripture says to us, is that he's got more stacked up to give and load up our cup than we could ever receive. And he enjoys doing it. He enjoys doing it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. the book of Philippians, you know, these brothers and sisters are in glory with our Lord, and one day we'll get to meet them. And the testimony of them is written down here to be an example, an instruction, an encouragement to you and me. And may the Lord help us not to get beyond it being a story, but to receive it, to understand that it's instruction for us right here at Olmsted Baptist Church about how we're to operate, how we're to proceed, how we're to be for the sake of our Lord. And that we might avail ourselves to, be involved with, and rejoicingly enjoy this fellowship in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus as your Savior. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the rescue. He's the Savior and the Redeemer, the payer. He says that He has the power to forgive sins. He says in John chapter 5 that the Father has given unto Him, Jesus is a man, He's given to Him power to make alive whosoever He will. He's the one that you need. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. And we who are saved, may we walk with our Lord in this fellowship of His gospel. Learn to be abased and learn to abound in Him. Learn to suffer need and to rejoice in the blessings of the Lord and be about this ministry that's unto people. We are His ambassadors.